Prisoner Peter Collins is involved in various activities. Two are his artwork and his guitar playing. In the following section, Peter explains the obstacles he faced in order to be admitted into an art program, the censorship of his cartoons, his efforts to start a small business selling his artwork, and how Corrections Services of Canada shut it down. Also, Peter explains Corrections Services of Canada's refusal to allow him to bring along his music lessons tapes for guitar when he was transferred to a lower security prison. So, I'd like to speak to you as an artist. Now, Peter, you do different activities in prison, one being your artwork. You also accomplished with straight A's a course on graphic, commercial, and fine arts. Before beginning this course, when you were at the time located at Millhaven Penitentiary, is that correct?
That's when I started trying to get it.
Could you explain the obstacles that you had to go through in order to be admitted into this course?
Yeah, it was incredible, really. When I think back on it, it's just a correctional mindset. I think staff often think that if you might enjoy what you're doing, that you shouldn't be doing it. You know, sort of somehow it must be illegal if you enjoy it. So it took me about 2 years of complaining, you know, through the complaint system and writing to the commissioner and the deputy commissioner and anybody else who would pretend to listen, that, you know, that I wanted to do the art course and that they should let me pay for my art course. And they just resisted constantly until finally through Duncan, he was a bishop in Toronto, he got involved and, you know, so the CSC had to back down and let me do it. But it took, you know, somebody in a high-level position, you know, respected in the community to come and say, hey, what are you guys doing? So then they relented and I was able to start the course. So I guess I must have started that battle in 89, and 91 I started the course.
And also in 91 you were transferred to a lower security penitentiary and you continued your art courses. And in one of the courses, you had to design and complete different cartoons. You created some political cartoons. Could you elaborate on these cartoons, describe
Sure.
what they were about, and if there were any difficulties or repercussions in drawing them?
Yeah, there's always been a problem with anybody making comments about unhealthy government practices, and the CSC's no different. I guess a couple of the cartoons that come to mind, I drew a picture of three prisoners hanging on a wall, and in between each prisoner was a button, and it had riot written on it, so it was a little riot button. And then over on the other side of the cartoon was a guard sitting in a chair blindfolded, pulling darts out of a bucket marked institutional policies. And he was firing the darts at the wall, and, you know, there was some sticking in the prisoners, some sticking in the walls, and eventually the implication was that, you know, they would hit the riot button. So that was one cartoon. Another one was, at the time, as per usual in Canada, they were discussing the Young Offenders Act, and it's odd that they're, again, revamping that bit of legislation. You know, there was a lot of public debate about putting young offenders in adult prisons, and, you know, depending on the severity of their offense. At the time, there was an assistant warden of something or other walking around the prison ordering people to take pornography down off their walls. I guess at some points in time, you know, men like to hang up pictures of women. And, you know, I guess it can be a little tasteless when, you know, depending on your you know, decorating opinions. But what they did was they came around and they made it illegal to display, you know, a Playboy centerfold or even a calendar, you know, a swimsuit calendar type thing. You know, that was illegal to do that. So she came around and inspected every cell and made sure that either you were charged for having it on your wall or you know, that you didn't have it, and she would move on to the next one. Well, the next day, I heard drilling, and I got myself, you know, this is a sort of a strange message to be advocating, you know, whatever anybody's preference is, that's not what I'm saying, but, you know, to be taking away heterosexual type of images and then replacing it with condoms and lubricating jellies. I just found it ironic. And so I did a little cartoon of her ordering all the pornography or, you know, skin magazines or whatever you want to call them out of the institution. And while she was handing a bag of condoms to the guards, telling them to issue those, and then in the little bubble thought above her head, she was saying that she couldn't wait till they got the young offenders into the prison system. So when they found these cartoons, they confiscated everything from me, all my art stuff. And after they confiscated all my artwork and stuff, mm-hmm. You know, all my supplies and school supplies, I started complaining about that, and they made up, they said that the reason they took it was because it was a fire hazard, and then they said, you know, when I proved that was the nonsense, they said that it was because I wasn't a good student, and then when I proved that that wasn't true, they said it was because the staff were offended by them, and so then that's why they took them. In a few weeks after that, they had shipped me to Millhaven on a bunch of false charges, and I had to, or allegations. There were no charges, but I continued fighting for my art supplies, and at one point they actually said in a complaint, they said that if I was, because at the time they had given me back half of my supplies, I won my complaint, they gave me back half my supplies, but oddly enough none of the cartoons, but they said they couldn't find them, that they didn't even know what I was talking about. So I had half my supplies, but I needed a medical desk and a chair that I had been issued because I broke my back. What they said to me then was that if I was really serious about art, that I would just do my courses on the floor, you know? So so it took like a, you know, years of fighting to eventually get my chair and desk and be able to do the art stuff properly. And that pattern of interference went on throughout almost every institution that I was placed in.
But in regards to you starting up a small business, what were the challenges and obstacles that you faced in trying to start up this small business, trying to sell your artwork?
Okay, well, it was actually incredible. You know, again, oddly enough, positive endeavors in the prison system seem to you know, take on a life of their own, and it's very difficult to accomplish anything. When I finally did finish the art course, I was applying to go to a minimum security prison, and the psychology department did a test on me. One of the questions that he asked me was, so now that you're finished this art course, what do you want to do now? I thought that I should, personally, that I should broaden my horizons and maybe, you know, do some, you know, diversify a bit and get some other education into me. So I said that I wanted to take a nutrition and fitness course and maybe be a personal trainer, you know, or get that certification. His response to that was that he said it demonstrated that I lacked any focus. So I asked him what he thought I should do, and he told me that he thought I should sell my art to the community. Now, I thought that that was a good idea. I just never thought that they would allow me to try to do that, you know, so I didn't really entertain the idea of it being a possibility. But he told me that that's what I should do, and I thought that armed with psychology recommendations that I do that, that, you know, it would be a good thing for me to try to do. So that's what I tried to do. I got in touch with a small business startup group. They sent out a business mentor, and who was a retired business professor from Queens, and he helped me set up a business plan and get, you know, my financial act in order, you know, get a chartered accountant. I was all set up. The problem was that I couldn't get a bank account, and without a bank account I couldn't make any transactions. I couldn't sell any work, you know, receive any money. Because according to correctional law, I needed to have a bank account, but I just couldn't do it. It was just impossible. None of the banks would open an account for me. There was just so much dancing and avoiding, and the common thing that they relied on was that I couldn't come in, prove that I was me. So I had to apply for ETA to go to the bank to make the account, but the institution, my parole officer, wouldn't even process that. Yeah, so that was very difficult. While I was still trying to do that, what I was doing was I was doing art in between. I just wasn't allowed to sell it. So eventually I did get an account, and actually my sister and my brother opened an account under the business name, under their names. Okay, so they opened an account under the business name, but it was under their names as financial officers or whatever. Then the institution started going, oh, we don't know about this whole having family involved with the business account, right? So making it, like, so ridiculous, like fuck, I've hired a chartered accountant's office, right? And now what, you want me to hire some financial representatives to, you know, to be financial officers in a business that, you know, what am I doing? I'm painting a couple pictures, you know? But, like, it was just so absurd of them. So anyway, then they said, well, they needed to investigate my business practices. And so therefore, I was told I wasn't allowed to do anything regarding the business. So I'm not allowed to paint. I wasn't allowed to, do anything according to, you know, to this new, because this investigation. I had a commissioned piece that was supposed to go out. I wasn't even allowed to send that out. So, so it was just a big fiasco. And then when they would avoid meeting with me over and over again until finally I put complaints in, and then their response to that was to shut my business down. And I missed one part, and that's that from the very beginning, they set up a censorship board specifically for my political cartoons, and the censorship board would never meet with me. So it was very difficult for me to ever get anything sent out because they would never meet with me. And the chief censorship officer of the censorship board was my parole officer, making it equally, you know, making it detrimental for any, you know, positive relationship between the two of us, because he's going to be offended possibly by my cartoons, which are often about, stupid policies that the CSC comes up with, right? So it was a bad thing altogether.
So what are you now able to do with your artwork?
I'm allowed to do art, according to these people, but they have given me a written direction telling me that I'm not allowed to publish or display any of my political cartoons. Actually, it says any of my artwork, but I think they specifically, you know, I can't imagine that they mean any of my wildlife paintings. I think they must mean just cartoons that make fun of them.
No sense of humor.
Very little.
Another activity that you have taught yourself in prison is playing the guitar. When did you start to play the guitar, and what steps did you take to learn this instrument?
When my little brother died, I was given some money, through some kind of insurance settlement, and I didn't know what to do with that money, so I just didn't touch it. I just I didn't acknowledge that it was there. But eventually, I did think about it and thought that I wanted to do something, you know, positive with it, and I just couldn't figure out what it was. But at some point, a friend of mine had broken his guitar, or a friend of his had broken his guitar, and he asked me to see if I could fix it. So I, got some books on repairing guitars and woodwork and stuff, and then I went about the task of fixing the guitar. And while I was doing it, gluing it and setting it, and then eventually I painted in, the grains of the wood so that it matched the natural grain. Eventually, you just couldn't see that it had been broken. And while I was doing that, I started to appreciate the instrument, and thought that what I could do is get a guitar and learn how to play it. So I used that money to buy a used guitar, and a nice one, an Epiphone made by Gibson. It was, a vintage guitar at the time. So I started teaching myself how to play, and I bought a bunch of courses, self-help courses, with tapes and books and started teaching myself how to play.
When you moved to this institution, did you have a problem in receiving the tapes?
Their policy with regard to educational material is that it has to come from a school. It has to come from recognized, provincially accredited school, college or institute of some kind. And they fail to recognize blues guitarists as educators. So I have a series of tapes and videos by Stefan Grossman, who's recognized by Eric Clapton and many other people as the world's foremost blues guitar educator, but not at Bath. At Bath, they don't recognize that this guy's educational, that learning how to play an instrument is educational, or